Okay, very, very exciting. And I am very excited to participate in this international effort for Harbatzas Torah. I want to thank Rav Shai and anyone else who was involved in the organizing. I want to thank those involved in sponsoring the shiurim. And most of all, thank all of you for joining in today's shiur and hopefully all of the shiurim in this incredible series. My series of six parts, which we'll be meeting on Tuesdays at 5 o'clock Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern New York and Eastern American and Eastern Standard Time, is entitled "The Six Habits of Highly Effective Jewish Living," which was my, I hope, clever way of describing what I hope to do, which is to discuss six different habits, you could say, or six different midos, which I think are absolutely crucial for religious growth and success. Obviously, there are many, many midos, many different attributes that people need to be truly well-developed and successful Jews and human beings, but we only have 6 weeks, and therefore I had to pick six, and these are six of my favorite six that I believe are truly, truly critical. And I wanted to start specifically today with chesed. That'll be our first topic, the gift of giving. And the reason I wanted to start with chesed in particular, it can be illustrated in the first source on your sheet, which is a Gemara Masechta Sota, which points out a famous teaching that the beginning and end of the Torah both are all about chesed. Tchilaso gemilas chasadim, v'sofo gemilas chasadim. After all, right in the beginning of Bereishis, we learn about Hashem clothing Adam and Chava, an act of chesed, that they shouldn't be embarrassed and naked. And the end of the Torah, we have, of course, the description of Hashem burying Moshe, and that act, last act of chesed of burial and Kovat HaMeis. And really, I think what the Gemara is describing is not just a coincidence that you can find something in Bereishis, you can find something in Dvarim, but what the Gemara is really telling us is that chesed is the essence of everything. If the Torah begins and ends with chesed, it's because Torah is defined by chesed. Chesed is part of the essence of Torah. And I think that that is something that is absolutely crucial that we need to consider. And one of the keys to helping us understand why that is so, why is chesed so important, what about chesed is so important, and how should we inculcate and internalize chesed in our own lives, can be found in a very, very well-known pasuk. That is the pasuk in Sefer Micha, in Perek Vav, in source number two on the source sheet, in which the Torah tells us that, excuse me, the Navi tells us, I should say, that what does Hashem want from us? Ki'im asos mishpat. We must do mishpat, do ethical things, live an ethical life. That's great. Va'ahavas chesed, love chesed, va'atznei aleches im elokecha, and be tzanua, be humble with Hashem. And right away, you know, even if you're remotely sensitive to language, we're struck by the fact that the description of chesed is not merely to do chesed, but to love chesed. Ahavas chesed. This is the only category which we have described in Tanakh, and by a Navi in this case, in exactly that way. And this observation and the significance of this observation is not mine. It's actually goes back to none other than the Chafetz Chaim. We're familiar with the Chafetz Chaim from his work, Chafetz Chaim in Shmiras HaLashon, about those halachos. Of course, he also wrote the Mishnah Berurah, perhaps even more famously. But he was actually a prolific author. He wrote many, many other works which are not nearly as well known. And one of the really important svarim that he wrote that is not as well known is called Ahavas Chesed, all about Chesed specifically, and more broadly, Mitzvos Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And his title of the entire work is Ahavas Chesed, coming from that pasuk. And in the first chapter of the section that deals specifically with acts of Gemilas Chesed, you have it on source number three on the source sheet, the Chofetz Chaim, here in this essay, Ahavas Chesed, he points out this exact point, that the Pasuk refers to Chesed with the verb, with the commandment, to love Chesed, velo amar ki asos mishpat v'chesed. The Pasuk could easily have said, what does Hashem want from you? To do mishpat in chesed. But that's not what the pasuk said. The pasuk said you should do mishpat and love chesed. And says the Chafetz Chaim, this is not a small matter. In doing that, by changing the word, the Navi is hore lanu hanavi hazeh inyan gadol umechadesh, umechudash. That the Navi is clearly telling us something novel and significant. And what is that significant thing, says the Chafetz Chaim? It's clear, says the Chafetz Chaim from this pasuk, that it's simply insufficient to do chesed. As great as chesed is and all the different forms of chesed that people do are, says the Chafetz Chaim, clearly that's insufficient. It's not enough to do chesed. Rather, we have to love chesed. And says the Chafetz Chaim, many of us do chesed because we feel no choice. We feel pressured either because we know it's a mitzvah, we feel social pressures or other conforming pressures, and we do the chesed. And it's clear to me, and I assume to the Chafetz Chaim as well, that that's far better than not doing chesed. However, says the Chafetz Chaim, it's also far short of what Hashem wants from us. The Navi is teaching us that chesed is different than other things. Other things we can do, whether we love them or not, that would be a bonus. But when it comes to chesed, as the Chafetz Chaim says in that last double underlined phrase in source number 3, ki'im sha'adam tsarich lios lo ahava lemida shel chesed. It's not enough to do chesed, we have to love the chesed. Now, you might be wondering, what's the difference whether I love it or not? After all, if I do it, I do it. So one of the differences, not the only difference, but one of the differences is if I truly love something. So what happens if I don't have something I love? If I miss a person that I love, right? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. When you love someone and you're not with him or her, you miss them. If you love something, an activity or some other kind of physical pleasure, and you are away from it or separated from it, you could have pangs of missing it, even of withdrawal. This is an insight that Rav Moshe Feinstein makes in source number 4. It's a very beautiful and profound insight. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Sefer on Chumash, the Darash Moshe, the Pasuk in Vayera tells us about Avraham, no less than Avraham. We know that right after he had his bris milah, the third day, he's a very old man, he's in tremendous pain, and nevertheless, the Torah tells us, he's Yoshev Pesach Ohel Kachom Ayom. At the hottest time of the day, he's sitting on the outside of his tent. And Rashi there, Rav Moshe quotes it, Rashi tells us the very famous teaching, most of us learned this when we were very, very young children, that Hashem, seeing that Avram was going out of his way to wait outside his tent, looking for strangers, looking for people who would be walking by that he could offer some kind of achnasas orchim to, he wanted to help them, to offer, to do things for them, and no one was coming. Hashem had made it very hot, because Hashem had wanted no one to come by so Avram could recuperate. But Avram didn't care. Avram missed his opportunity to chesed so much, he went outside. And says Rashi, where it's underlined in the first line of source number 4, Lefisha Ra'u Mitzta'er. Hashem ends up sending the three angels to go visit Avram, because Hashem sees that Avram was mitzta'er, shlohayu orchim baim. Avram was in pain, more pain than the physical pain of the circumcision. He was in pain that he had no guests to take care of, he had no ability to do a mitzvah of hachnasas orchim, he couldn't do chesed, and therefore Hashem brings the angels. Asks Rav Moshe Feinstein, I don't understand, why is Avram upset that there are no visitors coming, that there are no travelers passing by his tent? Says Rav Moshe, if there's no opportunity to do the chesed, there's no one in your vicinity who needs to be taken care of, you have an open house, but there's no one there, there are no visitors, there's no travelers in your neighborhood that day, so you didn't do anything wrong, there was no opportunity to do the mitzvah. So what does Avram feel bad about? Rav Moshe gives an unbelievable mashal. He says, imagine someone who loves Shabbos. Hopefully we all love Shabbos, right? Shabbos the last few months has been a little different than it has been for most of our lives. Hopefully we found new and refreshing ways to fall in love with Shabbos, even though we've been separated from our communities and our shuls for the most part over these last few months. But take someone who really loves Shabbos. Would it make any sense for such a person, him or her, to truly be in pain on Sunday or Monday that they can't make Kiddush, that they can't light the Shabbos candles, right? I don't know anybody like that. And let's be honest, if we did, we'd probably think they're weird. Guess what? Rav Moshe Feinstein would agree with us. He also would think they're weird. Says Rav Moshe, it doesn't make any sense. If a person on a Friday night is robbed of the opportunity, there are no candles or something like that, and a woman who's been lighting candles for decades of her life, it's such a meaningful part of her Jewish experience, and there are no candles or she can't light candles, that would make sense. She misses the opportunity. A family that enjoys being together and having Kiddush and a Friday night meal together, for whatever reason, they couldn't do that on Shabbos. So then on a Friday night, when they're not experiencing it, it makes sense to miss it. But says Rav Moshe, does it make any sense to miss Shabbos on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday? We don't really think of that. So says Rav Moshe, why did Avraham miss the guests? There were no guests. What's to miss? There's no mitzvah. The mitzvah is only when there are opportunity to do the mitzvah. And says Rav Moshe, you see from this at the end of source number 4, that chesed is different. It all goes back to Ahavas Chesed. On the second to last line, Sarach Lomer Du Mitzara Ahava LeChesed. Dika Mitzvah Miyuchedes SheAdam Yisaveh LaAsos Chesed. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein. What a beautiful idea, echoing the same thoughts of the Chafetz Chaim we saw previously. That the reason the Navi is telling us to love Chesed is that that is actually part of the mitzvah. It's not part of the mitzvah of Shabbos. It's not part of the mitzvah of candles or Kiddush or other such mitzvahs to yearn for the opportunity. Hopefully we enjoy the mitzvah while we do it, but that's a cherry on top. It's an important cherry, but it's a cherry on top. Chesed, part of the mitzvah, is to love it so much that when we don't have an opportunity, even though we're doing nothing wrong, of course not, but we love it so much that we're in withdrawal when we don't have it. We miss it. There's an ache. There's something missing in our heart and our soul when we can't do chesed. That is what we're required. That's ahavas chesed. If you love something, you miss it. We love our children. We love when they can come home for Yontif or come visit us if they don't live at home anymore. And unfortunately, again, one of the many ramifications of the current situation is so many people have not been able to see their parents, grandparents, grandchildren, etc. When we're far away, when we can't visit with people that we love, we miss them. So too says Rav Moshe, you see from this idea of ahavas chesed, when we can't do chesed, we have to love chesed. But that really begs the question, and I'd like to pivot now to the second half of today's shiur, which is, that's the what. We've spent 10 plus minutes or so sketching out the what. That chesed is so important to our religious definition and personality, it's not enough to do chesed, as important as that is, but we must love chesed. That's the what. And now we understand one of the ramifications is that we'll miss it if we don't have it. That's a litmus test. Fair enough. But what about the why? Why is it so important? Why is chesed different that if we don't, it's not enough just to do it, but we must love it? Why is that so important in the case? Now, you might say that one of the reasons, and the Chafetz Chaim himself does mention this, is that the more you love it, the more you'll do, and the better you'll do at it. I think that's a fair point. But I also don't think that that's a sufficient answer, for the simple reason is that would be true for everything. If you love the mitzvah of lulav or esrog, you're going to go more full throttle to do a good job with that. If you love the mitzvah of learning Torah, you're going to do more of that. If you love davening, you're going to do more of that. And yet it doesn't say ahavas tefillah, ahavas Torah, ahavas this, ahavas that. It's unique that ahavas chesed. So it is true, I think it's undoubtedly true, that the more you love chesed, the more you'll do. The more you love any mitzvah, the more you do. But I don't know if that's a sufficient answer for why the Navi would tell us, and why the Chafetz Chaim and others say it's part of the halachic definition that it's not enough to do chesed, we must love chesed. And therefore, I'd like to suggest that there are two fundamental answers, two ways in which chesed may be truly unique, and it's exhibited by or reflected in the fact that it's not enough to do, but we must love it. There are two things that are truly unique about chesed, which I think I really would like to share with you. I hope you can internalize and really think about, not only during this year, but hopefully beyond. The first point, which I'd like to highlight in source number 5 and 6, the first point is that there is something uniquely compelling and there is a unique component or power to chesed and benaram lechavero mitzvos, interpersonal mitzvos in general, and particularly the mitzvos of chesed. And the particular point, what is unique, I think, about them is that benaram lechavero generally, chesed particularly, has a unique power and ability to transform the person. On some level, every mitzvah that we do, hearing the shofar, lighting the candles, shaking the lulav, every mitzvah can impact us. But there is something uniquely compelling and uniquely powerful about benaram lechavero mitzvos in general, and specifically gemilas chesed, doing for other people, that has the ability not only to help the person, but to transform us. Maybe the most famous comment in this regard is the comment of the Rambam in source number 5 in his commentary to Pirkei Avot. In Pirkei Avos and Per Gimel, where the Rambam explains the statement of the Mishnah, Lefi Rov HaMaisa, that the more you do something, the more impact it can have. And the Rambam gives an illustration of this by specifically speaking about chesed, or even more particularly about tzedakah. And the Rambam discusses the famous dilemma. What would be a better choice? Everyone has a limited amount of money. Even a billionaire has a limited amount of money, and those of us who are less wealthy certainly have a limited amount of money. If we have a limited, finite amount of money, we can give to tzedakah. The Rambam gives an example of, 1,000 gold coins. That's what you have. That sounds to me like pretty comfortable. But let's say that's all you have. Should you give 1,000 gold coins, $1,000, to a single recipient, to a single tzedakah? Or should you divide that up, says the Rambam, and he goes to the extreme, and give 1,000 different aniyim, 1,000 different poor people, $1. what's a better use of your tzedakah money? So if you ask me, from the perspective of the recipient, it would stink to get nothing. But the one recipient who would get the 1,000 would obviously be benefit and would be impacted by the larger gift. From the perspective of the recipient, clearly the bigger gift makes more sense. But says the Rambam, that's a mistake. Because even though there are so many worthy causes, shuls, yeshivas, chesed organizations, ironically enough, mikvah organizations, yeshivas, seminaries, and of course there are poor people who we give money to, says the Rambam, source number 5, the main focus of our giving and our chesed is not the recipient alone. The main focus is the beneficial impact that our giving and our charity has on us. Because we become giving people. We become better, more caring people. And says the Rambam, once you understand that, then the Rambam says it makes sense that it's better to give 1,000 people $1, 1 shekel. Because each time you give it, says the Rambam, you become impacted. If you do it only once, it's a little bit of an impact. But if you do it 1,000 times, it's a much, much greater impact. If you give 1,000 shekel to one person, that's great. But says the Rambam, lo tusag lo milas hanedivas bezeha maisayach haragadol. But it won't really impact you. The day you give it, you feel good about yourself and you feel, wow, it's amazing. But then it's easy come, easy go, so to speak. But the more times you give, 1,000 times, each time you give, even though it's so small, such a small amount, it doesn't matter. Each time you give, you're transforming yourself a little bit, the Yusag Kinyan Chazak, and that's the way you'll truly transform yourself. And source number 6, I just want to share with you briefly, this very, very same point, but it's captured in such a sharp and pithy, and in my opinion, memorable expression by Rav Asher Weiss. Rav Asher Weiss is so well known to us for his shurim and his halacha and his psukim, but he's also a remarkable Baal Darshan and thinker and inspirational speaker. And in his essays, is more inspirational essays on Chumash, on Parshas Bahar, and source number 6, Rav Asher Weiss makes the point that there are two different Gemaras that seem to say the same thing, but actually do not. In fact, say something slightly different. One Gemara, very famously, tells us that we have to imitate God. But in what way do we have to imitate God? So the first Gemara says, Heve Dome Lo. We have to be like Hashem's midos. Mahu chanun afatachanun. Just like God is compassionate and merciful, we have to be compassionate and merciful. However, Rav Asher Weiss points out there's a second Gemara in Masechet Sota, which seems to make the exact same point. Mahu afata, we should imitate Hashem, imitati yodei, as it's called. But there, the Gemara doesn't refer to God's midos. It says, just like God is malbish arumim, afata malbish arumim. Just like God clothes the naked, so should you. Just like God is mevaker cholim, so should you. So, you know, I have to say, I've seen these Gemaras many times in my life. I just thought they're basically the same Gemara repeated, which is not such a novel thing. The Gemara often repeats ideas in different places. However, if Asher Weiss is so sensitive and so careful, and he notices that, in fact, he thinks there's a significant difference. Because the first Gemara is talking about who Hashem is, or therefore, more importantly, who we have to become. It's talking about our midah. The second Gemara is talking about what we do. And says Rav Asher Weiss so presciently and so insightfully, there are all sorts of people who have the midah, but don't follow through with the action. But there are all sorts of people who do all sorts of things, but it's not an expression of who they truly are. It doesn't impact their essence. Says Rav Asher Weiss in such a memorable and easy to remember, pithy, sharp phrase, using the Hebrew, it's such a sharp turn of phrase in the Hebrew, says Rav Asher Weiss, there's a difference between la'asos and lihios. La'asos is to do. Lihios is to be. And as a Jew, each and every one of us, men and women, are commanded not only la'asos, to do acts of chesed, but lihios, to be a ba'al chesed. And this is exactly the point that Rambam was making in the previous source. It's not enough to just give tzedakah, we have to become a ba'al tzedakah. We have to be transformed not only in la'asos, but also in the lihios, what we do. So the first answer, in my opinion, to the question of why is chesed so important? Why is there a mitzvah not only to do chesed, but to love chesed, is to make it part of ourselves even more than other mitzvos? The first answer is because chesed generally, and Ben Aaron Lachavero specifically, has a unique power to transform who we are, and that is actually part and parcel of the mitzvah. Not only to do, but to be transformed, to become different and better people. And chesed and tzedakah can do that. There's something powerful about these mitzvos, and the more we love them, the more we do them, the better and the different and the more transformed we will become. Answer number one. Answer number two is something which I think is also incredibly remarkable and unique about Chesed, and that is that there are numerous sources in Chazal and in more recent commentaries that point out that Chesed has a unique ability to provide incredible reward to us, perhaps even greater reward in this world, let alone in the next world, than any other mitzvah. For example, in source number seven, again, we have the Chafetz Chaim in his work Ahavas Chesed. He quotes an incredible tradition. I don't think this is so well known. It's an incredible tradition that he traces back to the Midrashim, both in the Bereishis Rabbah, then especially in the Tana de Be'eliyahu, in which the Midrash wants to know, why did the Jewish people merit to be saved from Egypt? Why were they redeemed from Egypt? We know that they had many, many negative characteristics. They were on a very low level. So why were they saved? So many of us are familiar with Midrashim to say, well, the Jewish people kept their language, kept their names, kept their clothing, and that's all fine and good. I'm not disputing that. I don't think the Chafetz Chaim is disputing that either. But says the Chafetz Chaim, that's actually not why they were saved. That's not why we merited to be saved. Says the Chafetz Chaim, based on these sources, that the Jewish people made what he calls a bris Shel Chesed. In the depths of the Egyptian subjugation, when they had no hope and everything else was lost, they decided we have no choice but to do what? To make a covenant, an agreement among ourselves to help each other out, to start a free loan society, to start a gamach, to start a hachnasas kala fund, a loan fund, a clothing gamach, whatever they were doing there in Egypt. But they made a bris shel chesed to help each other. And says the Chafetz Chaim, based on these midrashim, when Hashem saw this, he was so taken, he couldn't believe it. Uma elu shein ba'atzman srichin chesed, these people who need so much help, they're so desperate, they're being persecuted by Paro, and they need chesed. And yet, osin chesed elum elu, they're willing to do chesed with each other. Wow, says Hashem, my heart is moved, so to speak, and I have to help them. This, says the Medrash, the Chafetz Chaim addresses and develops, is the reason why they actually merited to be saved. I'll read from the last line, source number seven. Aidei ze yisorer lamayla chesed shal Hashem yisbarach aleihem. Hashem's chesed and compassion and mercy on the Jewish people was kindled because he saw the way the Jewish people had compassion and mercy on each other. And that's what led to Hashem intervening and saving the Jewish people. And that's, in fact, says the Chafetz Chaim, this is exactly what happened. Moreover, before we just develop this idea, let me just read two more final sources, and that is the Medrash as well of Avos Rabbi Nassan tells us incredibly that at the time of the Churban, the Tanaim and the second base of Migdash were saying, oh my gosh, what are we going to do without the Karbanos? How are we ever going to get forgiven? How are we going to get Kapara? So says the one up Tana to the other, don't worry. Yesh lanu kapara acha shehi kamosa. There's one thing we can do that gives us Kapara as good. You hear that? As good as the Beis HaMikdash, as good as all the Karbanos. Ve'ezeh, zeh gemilas chasadim. By doing chesed with each other, we get kapara. Everyone, especially nowadays, we're all looking for skulas, you know, ways to get ahead, advantages for Hashem to have rachmanas on us and to bless us, to bless our families. Says the Chafetz Chaim, source number 7, based on those midrashim, Avos Rabbi Nassan, source number 8. Chesed is like the mother load of reward. You get rewarded in this world, the next world. There's nothing better for a skula and for getting rewarded than chesed. And we see this in two final sources, source number 9 and 10, the Gemara Baba Basra, source number 9, very famous discussion between Turnus Rufus and Rabbi Akiva. If God loves the poor people so much, why does he make them poor? To which Rabbi Akiva famously said, so that we have an opportunity to take care of them. Of course, God could take care of them, but Hashem wants us to take care of people in order so that we can be better, so that we can get rewarded. Similarly, and with this we'll conclude our sources, and I'll end with a story in a moment, the Medrash in Rus Rabbah, as well as in Vayikra Rabbah, source number 10, also a very famous phrase of Chazal, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, Yoser mimasha balabayis oseh ma'ani, ha'ani oseh im habalabayis. That's not to take away from the incredible Hakar HaTov that a poor person or any Mossad or any organization should have towards the donators and the philanthropists. But say Chazal here in such a striking way, more than the giver does for the recipient, the recipient is doing for the giver. Not only because the giver becomes a better person, but also because, as we've seen from these sources, there's incredible reward, kapara, geula, alegitizachin, all the good things that we want. Chazal in various places trace them back to what's the key to all of that? Chesed. And I want to make one last point, end with a story. One of my mentors, Dr. David Pelkowitz, likes to point out that to give Nasan, Nun, Tav, Nun, is a palindrome, right? It can be read the same straight and backwards. Nun, Tav, Nun, Nun, Tav, Nun. And it makes the point in a very cute way, as we're making right now, that in fact, to give is to receive, right? What you give, you get back. It's a palindrome. It's a very cute little idea. But I'd like to say something further, and I often make this point, and I want to end with this last point in a story. And that is what I like to call the chesed boomerang. What do I mean by that? The chesed boomerang is what I mean to when I try to make the point that it's not just that when people do chesed, they often are rewarded. Of course, Baruch Hashem, of course they're rewarded. It's not just that. It's more than that. It's that when we do chesed so often in life, we end up getting rewarded through the same people who we did good things for. It has happened in my life. I'm sure it has happened for many of you. And there are so many examples and so many famous stories where this is in fact the case, where the person who was once upon a time the recipient ends up becoming the giver. It's what I like to call the chesed boomerang. There are so many stories like this, but I'm going to end in the next few minutes by just sharing with you, if you don't mind, I think it's worth it, one final story. And it's a story about a man who probably most of you have not heard of. His name is Dean Barnett. He was an accomplished lawyer, a graduate of Harvard Law School, who then became well known as a political writer and pundit, which is how I first heard of him. And I used to read him and enjoyed him very much. In fact, I once corresponded with him years ago before we moved to Israel, and he even responded to me a little bit. And we had actually a brief correspondence. He was a very successful and accomplished person, but very unfortunately and tragically, he was born with cystic fibrosis, with CF, which I'm sure, as you know, is a terrible disease, which is terminal. There is no cure for cystic fibrosis. And when he was born, of course, his parents were initially devastated, but they recovered quite quickly. And he describes how they gave him a very happy and normal childhood. And really, he had a great, great upbringing, and his parents were really amazing. And they were very, very involved in funding and giving support for CF patients and their parents. Sometime after he was already a young adult, or maybe a late teenager, I'm not sure how old this was, a very well-known and wealthy businessman in Boston, Joe O'Donnell, had a son, Joey, who unfortunately also was very sick with cystic fibrosis. The O'Donnells were not just upset, as any parent would be, they were completely depressed and withdrawn and completely fell apart as a family. When Dean Barnett's father, Mr. Barnett, heard about this, he didn't know them at all, but he reached out to them as a father of a fellow child who had this terrible disease. And slowly but surely, he brought them back to the people that they were. He helped them find simcha in their lives. He helped them find the ability to be grateful for every day they had with their son, Joey. And he also helped them find a certain amount of chizuk in being able to support and help the various research that was being done to help fight this dreaded and terrible disease. The Barnetts and the O'Donnells knew each other well, but Dean Barnett, the author I'm talking about, lost contact with them after a while. Barnett himself became this accomplished lawyer and writer, as I mentioned, and then unfortunately, very suddenly, in the summer of 2005, when he was already in his 30s, which was coming up to at the time, which was pretty much the life expectancy for people with this terrible disease, very suddenly and very seriously and severely, he took a turn for the worse, to the point that by the end of the summer, he was number one on the New England transplant list for a double lung transplant. He was at death's door. When all of a sudden, his doctors found out about this incredible find that doctors in Australia had made, because they had patients with CF who were surfers and they were doing incredibly well. And finally they figured out that the air that they were breathing by the ocean when they were surfing, the salt in the air was having a tremendous effect and positive on them. And these doctors transformed what they were doing and they created a special kind of treatment using saline in the air. Dean Barnett was the first patient ever in America at Mass General Hospital in summer of 2005 to get this treatment. And he recovered completely. He went from being number one on the transplant list to totally recovered. Unfortunately, he died 3 years later. There's no happy ending to the story. CF is a terminal disease. But this research and this new treatment gave him 3 years of life, a new lease on life. Sometime after that, he saw, after a while, Mr. O'Donnell. Mr. O'Donnell asked him how he was. He says, actually, I'm doing really well now, but I almost died a few months ago. And Mr. O'Donnell said, really? Did you get saved by the saline solution from Australia? He said, yes, how did you know? And Mr. O'Donnell started crying with great emotion in his eyes. He said, the fund that we started when my son Joey died, the Joey fund, We're the ones who gave the money to the doctors in Australia for their research. Do you hear that? That's the chesed boomerang. This family, the O'Donnells, who would not have had anything involvement, wasn't giving any money to it, had completely been depressed by what happened to their son. But because Mr. Barnett, 30 years before, had gotten the O'Donnells to see the good in life and to be able to come back and he helped them, 30 years later, his own son, Dean Barnett, is the recipient and the beneficiary of the generosity of the O'Donnells. This particular story unfortunately ended the way it did because of the terminal nature of that disease. But Mr. Barnett, who was married, and if I remember correctly, even had a child, he got 3 years of life because of the generosity of the O'Donnells, which is only possible because all those years earlier, his parents had had the compassion and the concern to reach out to strangers and to help them. That's the power of chesed, and truly giving is the best way to receive. Thank you very much for joining, and I look forward to being with everybody, Yemirtzeh Hashem, same time next week, and hope you enjoy the next year. Thank you very much, everybody.